The scripture tells us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this series called A Line for Life, each of us is encouraged to pursue that invitation, the invitation to grow. Jesus wants every believer to grow up. So the good news is that he said that he was going to help us with this. So we have help. Katie asked, does anyone need help? We all need help, right? Growing up. He said he will send a helper who will be with you every step of the way, and that help is contingent upon you. Jesus said, I will send help if you obey my commands. Now, that could come across to you in one of two ways. You might see it as a limitation to getting help if I obey your commands, or it could be a response as an invitation to receive that help. Is obedience a limitation or is it an invitation? How do you see it? I hope you see it as an invitation today and recognize that following Jesus is not something that we do on our own. Spiritual growth is not a do-it-yourself project. We do need God's help. And Jesus promises supernatural power that we need to experience that growth. You and I can simply plug into that power source that will transform us into spiritually mature followers of Jesus. So we are going to look at the help that is offered by Jesus, and then we're going to look at three ways that are going to help make that available to us. In his book, The Essentials of Kingdom Living, Tony Evans, he likens the power of God to getting a new refrigerator. Now, Cheryl and I went to Best Buy some time ago, and we looked at refrigerators just for kind of fun. And there was this one particular model, kind of the top of the line. It was $12,000. It was like, wow, what is in this fridge? Well, it did a lot of kind of, it was stainless steel, so it really looked nice. It had all kinds of external doors and drawers that you could get into it. It had different temperature zones throughout the fridge, and it had an evaporating feature for moisture control. It had a de-icer in the freezer, so you wouldn't get any frost up there. It had a humidity-controlled crisper. I'm not quite sure what that is, but LED lighted shelves. You know, it was really pretty. There was a water filtration system on it that would give you the best drinking water ever, and it came with an Energy Star certification and a one-year warranty. I thought that was a little short. So imagine if you take that home. Cheryl and I get it home. We get the fridge put in place. We fill it all up with all our garden vegetables, our produce, our meat, stick all our beverages in there, ice cream up in the freezer, packed full. We're so excited. But then in a couple days, we start to get this smell and open the fridge and everything is beginning to rot in there. And so we call the store and say, hey, this thing's not working. So they go through a checklist with me, right? They'd say, well, look on the control panel. Is the temperature control set to where it needs to be? I'd say, no, it's not even on. And then they'd ask, well, what happens when you open the fridge door? Does it beep? Does it light up? And said, no, there's nothing. Nothing happens. And so then they'd ask me to look behind the refrigerator. You know, I'm thinking maybe a reset button that needs to be reset back there. And they say, look at the cord. Is that plugged in? And I'd say, no. But for $15,000, it should work without plugging it in, right? So we plug it in, the motor begins to go, it starts to hum, the lights come on, the crisper starts crisping, again, whatever that is, and all the features begin to work just like they're supposed to. Now that kind of is like the power for transformation in our lives. You know, as a believer, we have everything we need for spiritual growth. We are fully equipped when we believe with the Holy Spirit within us. Everything is there that we need. We just need to plug in to the power source. So this fourth message teaches us to align for power. Again, Tony Evans, author of Kingdom Living, he shares that the Holy Spirit is the power supply for the Christian life. In John chapter 14, which was read today, beginning in verse 16, we see what kind of help Jesus is promising. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Say, in you. Jesus in you. How does that happen? As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You know, in this passage, Jesus wanted to assure his disciples that they wouldn't be spiritual orphans. You know, Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be buried in the ground. He's going to rise from the dead, and then sometime later, he's going to ascend into heaven. He's going to leave the disciples. But he promises them, really, although he's going to be physically gone, he's not going to spiritually leave them because they will have the person of the Holy Spirit living within them. And it's the same now. We have Jesus with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, last week, the confirmation students, they kind of shared about this in describing the Holy Trinity, this theological concept of God as a being, as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So many of us, we get that, but do we experience it? Do you know the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit? Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, he said, let anyone who is thirsty, you know, I think he's talking about a spiritual hunger and thirst here, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So Jesus is describing this power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, inside of us, kind of like a river of living water that bubbles up from the inside out. And for many, the experience of the Holy Spirit feels just like that. You know, this indwelling, life-giving life of God within us. It's quite an experience, but we're not chasing a feeling. The power of the Holy Spirit is within us for God's plans and God's purposes in our lives. And that purpose is to be transformed, to grow into the image of his Son, more and more like Jesus. That's the work of the Spirit in our lives. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul describes being filled with the Spirit in the same manner of being intoxicated on wine. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Another word for sin, for, you know, not good stuff. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you've heard this verse before, you've probably focused more a little bit on the prohibition of drinking. Well, I think that's obviously a caution. Getting drunk, causing trouble, that's not God's design. But I don't think it's the focus of this passage. The focus is on the way intoxication occurs. So we think about it this way. When someone gets drunk on wine, the alcohol takes over, right? It controls their mind and their body, and it infiltrates and influences everything about them, how they think, how they talk, how they act. You know, if you've ever seen someone intoxicated, you know, they don't think the same as they do when they're not intoxicated, right? They think all kinds of crazy thoughts. Or they talk in ways that maybe you really never heard them talk before. Kind of reduces all the inhibitions and some crazy things come out. Or act in ways that you would never act if they were not intoxicated. So Paul says, in the same way, get filled with the Spirit. Be Holy Spirit controlled and influenced in how we think and talk and act. In other words, be full of the Spirit so that the Spirit lives and controls and influences our lives. Author Tony Evan, he makes a great point. He says it this way. Don't ever buy into the illusion that you are in control of your own life. If you aren't yielding to God, you are giving Satan permission to influence you. In other words, life is not neutral. You know, we might think it is. You know, if I'm not too good, not too bad, I'm okay. But you'll be influenced by Satan for evil or by God for good. So, the apostle says, be spirit-filled and continue to be filled and keep being refilled with the living water bubbling up of the Holy Spirit so that you will live a life that is for your good, for your neighbor's good, and for God's glory. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Katie talked about the Holy Spirit being our helper. The word in Greek is parakletos, which simply means a person called to one's aid. So our helper is the Holy Spirit, this person called to one's aid. It's of the same kind of Christ. It's not, the Holy Spirit is not it. It is not something different than Jesus. The Holy Spirit is of the same kind. And Christ, who is our helper, then, is always with us through the Holy Spirit. The Parakletos is the one who descended upon Jesus at his baptism. You know, we have the image of the dove coming down. It is the one who descended on the apostles at Pentecost that came in tongues of flame or flames of fire. The Spirit of God living with them. So how do we plug into this power of the Holy Spirit? And how do we receive that help that we need in order to grow and mature? Well, we access the through the power of obedience, and we access through the power of God's word and the power of prayer. So the power of obedience, the power of God's word, and the power of prayer. So let's start with the power of obedience. The power supplies the Holy Spirit, and we plug in through obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. You know, I think in spiritual formation, it's really important for us to recognize the difference between God's love and ours. There's a difference. God is love, right? It's God's essence. It's God's being. God's love is unconditional, which means God demonstrates his love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us no matter what. Before we can ever respond to that love, God loves us. God first loved us. You know, I think our confirmation students totally got that last week as they understand God's love for them. But God's love for you isn't based on your obedience. But your obedience does demonstrate your love for God, right? God's love isn't based on your obedience, but your obedience does demonstrate your love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. So obedience is love's response. Say that with me. Obedience is love's response. The Apostle John wrote to the churches in his first letter, 1 John 5:3, he said, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. So he's talking about our love for God is to keep his commandments. Now that might be news to you. Actually, often we focus on God's love without describing what it means to actually respond to God's love, the evidence of God's love, or our love for God. And it's all about response. As a believer, you have a choice. And too often, I think we choose disobedience. We don't obey God's commands. That's why the Apostle Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't walk in disobedience. Keep walking, following the Holy Spirit, and you will follow God's commands. Jesus replied in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make their home with them. So the whole idea is obedience is our response to God's love. It reveals to us, it shows us how much we are growing in our spiritual formation, how much we are loving God. So rather than going any further into this, I'm just going to tell you how to apply this. How do we do this? Well, here's one area this week that we can actually do. Identify some area in your life that you know is out of line with God's command. Some place in your life where you're not walking in obedience. Chances are each of us has at least one area where that is. Maybe it's a small one. That's okay. Maybe it's a big one. I don't know. Whatever that is. What is one area of disobedience in your life? And then ask for the Holy Spirit to help you turn that around. Help you to walk in obedience this week. You see, if you're praying that, God's desire more than anything else is to answer that prayer. God wants to see the Holy Spirit at work in your life, helping you to grow and become more and more like Jesus for God's glory. So when we obey Jesus, we are obeying God's will, as revealed in the Scripture. And that is the second power supplied through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is available through the power of obedience, number one, and number two, the power of God's Word. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flowers fall. You know, if the inspired writer were writing last night, he might say, the frost comes, the plants wilt, but the word of God endures forever. Say forever. Forever. So there's power in God's word because it never ends. It's eternal and it's alive. The first chapter of John describes the living word in John 1, verse 1 through and 14. In the beginning was the was the word. Excuse me. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So the living word is Jesus himself. And you cannot separate Jesus from God's word. When Jesus prays for his disciples, he asks God the Father to sanctify them by the truth. Then he says, your word is truth. Say truth. Your word is truth. The scriptures, the Bible is truth. And now we see the connection between the word and the Holy Spirit as Jesus asks the Father to send the Spirit of truth. Say truth. Truth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the Word. And the Spirit of truth will teach the truth of the living Word. Jesus said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos now, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Everything. Say everything. This is the work of the Spirit. The bottom line, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word. Now again, I could talk to you all day about God's Word and what the Bible reveals about it, but you know what's really more important, I believe, is that we actually engage God's Word, that you and I read the Word. So while I was gone, I heard a message from Craig Groeschel about how to study the Bible, and I think, wow, that's really, really basic, really practical, and really important. He said, how do we experience the word? He says, read the Bible. And we start with a Bible that we can understand. So there's all kinds of translations that you can use in reading the Bible. If you ever picked up an old copy that maybe was sitting on your parents' table in your house, that might have been like a King James Version. If you try to read that, good luck. It's very difficult, very hard to understand. It's an old English. You know, that isn't the intent. We want to understand as we read the word. And so get a translation that you can understand. NIV, New International Version, or NLT, New Living Translation. You can pick one up. That's easy to read. And then the second part, so once we find a Bible, or you can download a Bible app, YouVersion, the Bible. You can look on any app store. You'll look up the Bible. YouVersion will come up. Then you need three things to practice regularly in your life. And I would say put this into daily practice. Three things. Choose a time, choose a place, and choose a plan. So choose a time. You know, if we wake up in the morning and we have an understanding of when we are going to read the Bible, there's a much greater chance that we're actually going to engage with it. Now, maybe that is first thing when you wake up. Or if you're like me, it's not the first thing when you wake up because I'd never be able to even see it. So you pick a time. Maybe it's at noon when you have lunch. Maybe it's at the end of the day after the kids go to bed. It doesn't really matter when that time is. It just matters that it is a time. And maybe 10 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know what time you have. 5 minutes, maybe that's all you have. Choose a time and stick with it. And then choose a place. It actually matters where we engage. You know, this intentional setting space apart for this work of engaging God's Word. Maybe it's at your kitchen table with a cup of coffee. I like that idea. Maybe it's in your car as you're driving to work and you're listening to the Bible. Maybe it is, in bed as you're closing at the end of the day. Wherever that is, that time and then that place where you are going to read. Make it regular and then invite the Holy Spirit to help you. And finally, choose a plan. what are you going to study in the Bible? You know, the Bible can be very intimidating. You know, you can like, open it up to the middle of the Bible and end up in, or someplace, and end up in Leviticus and all the laws, and pretty soon you're falling asleep. Have a plan on how you're going to read the Bible. And there's different ways to approach, according to Greg Groeschel. You can start with a book of the Bible. You know, maybe you're looking for a very practical book that you could just put into practice right away. James would be a good book for that in the New Testament. It talks about how do we do the word. Like you're a practical person, put it in. Maybe you want to read something where you can reflect on Psalms. Psalms is considered either the prayer book of the Bible or sometimes the song book of the Bible. Maybe you want to reflect on just the joy of God's word. Engage in Psalms. Maybe you want to read a gospel about Jesus. You know, there's four of them in there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Pick one. I would encourage you to start with John and read through each day as you begin to understand the life and teachings of Jesus. And then maybe you are want to go really deep. Maybe you're like kind of getting into this. You want to know lots of theological concepts. Then you can go to the book of Romans. There's plenty in there. Keep you busy for a long time. It's a deep book. If you want to go deep, go to the book of Romans. So you can study the Bible, a book of the Bible. You can study a person in the Bible. Maybe you want to choose a character. You could go to the back of the concordance and find a person and study like Peter. You know, maybe the life of Peter throughout the Bible and his struggles as he grows. Maybe you want to study a topic in the Bible. Again, you can go to the back and look for peace and different passages in scriptures. Or you could look for humility or pride. Or you could do a daily devotion. How many of you get a chance to look at the daily bread that we offer here at the church? It's a little devotional. You maybe get in your mailbox. There's some out here on the entry, you can grab one. It gives a verse for the day, a little section of scripture you could read, a meditation on that, and then a prayer. Great way to engage God's word. So a daily devotion. Or you can read the whole Bible. You know, they have Bible in a Year books that you can pick up. Nikki Gumbel has a great one where you can sit down if you want to read more scripture. There's a sections each day that you read in order to get through the whole Bible in a year. So the idea is this. You wake up tomorrow with a time, a place, and a plan to read the Bible. You make it a habit, about 30 days to make this something consistent in your life. Stick with it. Invite someone to join you or keep you accountable in that. And then you will begin to be transformed by the power of God's word. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." So Craig Groeschel teaches that the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to transform us, not just inform us. If we were just looking for information, that would be one thing. But the word of God enters in and begins to change us from the inside out. So the whole point in Scripture is to do it. Say, do it. The whole point of Scripture is to do it. As we are being transformed, we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ and obedience to God's word. James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." That's what we're seeking with our life groups here at Bethlehem Church. Some of you have begun this fall and joining a life group. We are seeking to engage with God's word on a weekly basis, to enjoy community together as we are shaped and formed together around God's word, and then to learn how we can do it, how we can serve God with the gifts he has given us together. So new groups are starting this November, so watch for that as we relaunch our second round of life groups starting November. I hope you can sign up for that. So Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Jesus said, "I will send you help through the Holy Spirit, and that help is accessible through the power of obedience, through the power of God's word, and through the power of prayer." And that's where we will begin next week as we describe what it means to engage God through the Holy Spirit in prayer. Do you want assurance that God is working in your life? Then rely on the power of God to help you. We need help to live this Christian life, and Jesus assures us we have it through the Holy Spirit. So plug in through obedience and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal an area in your life where God wants to transform you and change you and help you to walk in obedience to God's command. And plug in through engaging God's word. Commit to a time, a place, and a plan to read and study God's word and begin to be filled with the power of the word. And remember, you have everything you need in order to grow spiritually. Just like the refrigerator, you have to be plugged in. Are you ready? Set? Grow. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, for your presence, your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, today we ask that you would help us to begin to walk in obedience and to begin to study your word. So Lord, in the area of obedience, if there's someone here today, if that's you or someone online that knows there's a place where you really want transformation, you want to be able to walk in obedience and to grow in God's power in that way, then I invite you to simply ask the Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit, grow in obedience in this area. God wants to answer that prayer for you. Simply commit to the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe for you, you are in this place where you know that you want to engage in the Word, where you know God is calling you to dig in and dive in and grow deeper and to read the Word. I invite you to commit to God today through the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me find a place, a time, and a plan to be in your word. And as you do that again, God desires to answer that prayer. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help that person or those who desire to be in God's word, to be engaged and to commit and help them to grow. And maybe for you today, you are kind of standing on the outside. Maybe you're listening to this message online or here, and you are kind of wondering what it all means to even trust in Jesus. What it means to have that life of Christ in us. Maybe you've never experienced that. It all begins by faith. If that's you today, if you desire to take that first step of faith, it simply begins with asking Jesus to come into your life, to allow the Spirit of God to fill you. And so if that's you, simply ask Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me and fill me with your life-giving Spirit, that I may experience all of your power and grow. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.